So here we are. We're looking at, what is this? This is March 16th. And parent conferences this week, and concert contest next week, and concert a couple weeks after that. Yeah, we got time here to talk this morning. This is Sunday morning. Like I said, March 16th. This is part three about Paul's partnership, as I call it, because it has to have the letter P to fit my alliteration list. We've looked at pronunciations of Paul, the things that he said were going to come true, some which have already. His preservation of his words, purpose, his purposes, his prayers, his persecutions, the price to pay to follow Paul that we all experience. The pleasures of following Paul, the passion that Paul had towards his people. The praises, how Paul would exhibit his praises. The Proverbs, looking through it from a Paul's mind, and we'll do more of that. And now we're looking at the partnership of Paul. And one of these days, we'll look in here into the pursuing of Paul. What's it like to actually look to Paul and pursue that? Not the price to pay to follow Paul, but just pursuing the knowledge of the risen Savior versus the knowledge of the gospel Jesus that everybody seems to want to follow. They want to follow the apostles' doctrine when it's very clear in the King James Bible we are to follow Paul's doctrine, which is somewhat different than the apostles' doctrine. But people just want to stick to the Big 12, I guess. So let's put this thing together here. We've done a lot of prep for this conclusion here today and tonight. We started off by looking at music, the misconceptions people have scripturally towards music and the purpose of music and the power of music and the gain that comes from music. And that generally fits in other things that we looked at, but it's most important to look at the music because I will say without a doubt that I believe that music has taken place of God in people's lives. Music has taken place of the Word of God. Music has taken place of the Spirit of God in people's lives, and naturally, we're looking to this thing we'll see here where music has taken the place of fellowship with God. True fellowship with God has been stolen from Christians, from people who are legitimately probably you know, solid Christians, sincere Christians looking to the risen Savior. But we still got to do some more looking here this morning to make sure we see what I'm getting across here. Please note that, yes, all things are lawful, and we understand all that sort of a thing. But when we do those things that are not pleasing to God, and I'm not talking about all the fornication, all the fleshy things that are out there. I mean, that's part of it. But we also have to look at the fact that Paul does tell us how we can still please God. And there's something that still has to take place between us. I will say this, that when the music takes the place of fellowship, for example, God isn't the one that's left. He is not going to be the one that's leaving. He is not going to be the one that breaks the fellowship as such. But you will see, we got two verses, key verses coming up here. We'll get to them this morning that I think will help us understand why sometimes we make the decisions we make and how they're bad and they're dumb and they're stupid. You know, when all this takes place that I'm talking about this morning, we will see why people's or our own understanding actually does get darkened. We lose our joy. It seems like our wisdom isn't too hotsy-totsy anymore. We do make some really stupid moves. We're doing some things that affect our fellowship with God. And again, it's not God leaving us. We're the ones that are pulling away. And when we do that, what really is taking place that causes all this other understanding to fail and our joy disappears and our wisdom is like not there anymore and we start making some stupid moves and doing some dumb things? We'll get to that. Let's look at some more things here this morning. Now, I'm kind of going through my notes. I don't need to go through the misconceptions of music, you know, the stuff from 1 Samuel 16 where music healed King Saul with physically, mentally, and spiritually. The problem was is he didn't have the Spirit of God. So music can do that to a person. Music can do that to us physically, mentally, and religiously. and somewhat even spiritually, if it's done in the right manner with the right kind of music and the right words, the word of Christ being dwelt upon, et cetera, et cetera. That's another sermon. We kind of dealt with the misconception that God likes all music because he doesn't. We talk about that. And the misconception that for the Christians out there, the Bible guys, that we can't use music to learn. Well, that's not true at all. We can use music to learn. Paul talks about that. We certainly know that there's a worship going out today in the churches that is totally false worship. God doesn't accept that worship whatsoever. And music has become a very powerful thing within the churches. But it had to become a powerful thing within a person's self, within their family, before it could have been accepted at the church level. It was years and years ago when I knew what pastors were listening to in their homes, and it wasn't in their churches. Oh, they wouldn't have it in their churches, but they're having it in their homes, so it's just a matter of time, and it came into the churches. And it came into the Bible guys through all these great Christian families of their families singing, playing guitar and singing and banjos and all this fleshy beat. Oh, they didn't have drums or anything, of course not, but they had false doctrine, and they had it in there because the guitars and the banjos with the melody would still have the beat, so it still became fleshy, and they run around the church and blah, blah, blah. It's just it's the same everywhere now in these churches today. Okay, so that's the music thing. And we looked at, let's see here. Music has taken over everything. It's everywhere. It's all kinds. It seems to work in all people, all three different physicals and everything. It seems God likes it all, but we know it's not true. It brings numbers to the churches and gain and excitement, which we know is the typical critique of the modern false Christian today, and the great worship capabilities, and et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about that. So there's that summary. And we went through all the P's that we've talked about so far. And then conclusion is the fact that music is today's fellowship. It is false fellowship. And let's see if we can't just... Okay, fellowship. Let's see here. Marked by ready communication and mutual understanding and relationship of those who share the same interests. That's why we can fellowship. And I do miss that. I'm so dastardly slow now on my emails. I apologize for that. I do try to wait to make it a worthwhile email return, but then if I wait too long, I end up not writing you back at all. I'm to the point where I'm ready to start doing when school winds down. I wouldn't mind some phone calls. We could talk on the phone and stuff. I try to call some folks in the evenings. I've got more of an opportunity now than I've had for a couple of years. But it would be so good. It's like listening to the music in the mornings when we do this, the old congregational stuff. I enjoy that because we're singing together. Ignoring the fact that I know what's going on in the families and all the church faces that were being put on and all that kind of stuff, I still wouldn't mind us all getting together and singing and fellowshipping and talking. And then even that word fellowship has been so abused nowadays. You know, it's like fellowship. We belong to a fellowship. Come over and fellowship with us, and all this kind of stuff. It's been used to death by the modern crowd. But there is something to it between us and God. And remember, I'm calling it partnership because we're partners with Paul. I suppose look at it that way, but that's what I'm trying to do. So now, let's look at fellowship a little bit more here. For example, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We'll get started here. Let's bring up the one that I mentioned that we must realize is a huge difference to us because this is not our call. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and we are very comfortable and aware 100% that our fellowship and doctrine is from Paul, not from the apostles. So get that over with here. Get that out of the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 simply says, God is faithful, by whom ye, meaning us, Paul's talking to the Gentiles, the church of God, ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here we have all these Christians on this world, in this Christianity world, which, by the way, like I think is one of the things I was going to mention about our party, our staff dinner, was there just no flavor of anything Christian or moralistic or anything anymore. We're talking about teachers and their families. You know, I mean, some of these little old ladies that teach at the school are walking around with a beer in their hand. It's just, it's an odd thing to me. I don't mean to be judgmental about it. A beer is a beer, I guess. I don't like the stuff. But I know a lot of Christians are okay with alcohol, and I don't really understand that, other than I guess it must taste good and it takes some of the pressure off them. I suppose it's just like taking a pain pill in some respects, I guess. You know, I don't know, but there's a testimony there, I thought. Maybe, but there's that, who knows. So we're called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. See, that's the risen Savior. All these Christians that want to follow Jesus in the Gospels, there's really no fellowship there with Him, because that's not where we're called for fellowshipping. I mean, He's risen. Everybody out there in Christianity believes that He's risen. So why wouldn't you want to fellowship with the risen Savior? And the only way you can do that is through the scriptures that were written to us as Gentiles through Paul, not the apostles. Paul is our one apostle. And there's where we have the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's Paul talking about the risen Savior there. But, now here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm probably going too fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Here's what everybody's doing, and here's what we find ourselves doing, because even though all things are lawful, all things are not expedient, da-da-da-da. So we know, we're not called to stop sinning. Christ took care of the law, so without the law, there's nothing to be marked. There's no transgression. There's nothing sinful. And I know people just really can't get over that. But that's Romans chapter 6, the first half, and the second half talks about the sinning aspect of our day-to-day manner of life, but that's because we choose to do so. But it still is not imputed to us. That's what Christ did. So, and we'll get at it today about how the things that we are still doing or reading or watching or looking at or listening to is still hurting our fellowship with the risen Savior. As much as we know about the risen Savior, as much as we care about the risen Savior and the teachings of Paul, and the King James Bible and all this kind of stuff and all these other different people that are blinded and deceived, and we understand these things, how is our personal one-on-one fellowship with Christ, the risen Savior, and could possibly be some of the things that we're having to happen in our lives? It's not God punishing us. Don't go down that road. God will not chastise us. He'll save our bad works from the judgment seat of Christ, of which then those works will be judged. Which is what the Bible people have always taught me. Somehow they don't get it, though. God is not going to chastise us now. So these things that are going on, is it because of the breaking down of our fellowship? Well, we'll see. The answer is yes, but we'll see. And again, it's not God leaving us. It's us parting our ways with wisdom and understanding. So what's messing us up? Well, we'll get to it here. I'll show you here in a couple of minutes here. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Right? Now, keep your finger there, and let's look to Ephesians just for a second here. Ephesians chapter 2, just a couple dirty pages back, and my pages are so used and dirty. Still got your Bible you gave to me, Bob, and I need the bigger print, but I haven't gotten myself to write in it yet. I still look back in my... I call this my Paul Bible. You know, maybe someday when I die, they can reprint my Paul Bible. I can be as famous as Dr. Reckyman, you know. Anyway. So we're looking at the Gentile sacrifice. They sacrifice to devils. Then we go to Ephesians chapter 4. And again, in verse 17, he's talking to us not to walk like other Gentiles. Now we've got to remember, Paul is there to the Gentiles. Okay. But when you put your faith in the risen Savior, you become part of the church of God. Not the denomination Church of God, but the Church of God. So when he talks about other Gentiles, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That's what unsaved the Gentile world does. So if we follow what they're doing, which we do, in some cases, I mean, I'm not talking about pulling off to the side and moving to Alaska and not be part of the world. Paul says if you want to do that, you have to leave this earth. So I'm not even talking about that. But when we fellowship with the world, are we fellowshipping or are we just part of it because we have to be out there? There is a difference. There is a difference. Okay, so back to 1 Corinthians 10:20, the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So when we find ourselves fellowshipping, which we'll get to that in a minute here, I guess, with that world out there, we are part of what they're doing. They sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So this world that's out there, we are not part of it. We really are not. We work amongst it. We buy, sell, and trade amongst it. We have our friends that are out there. And we have to have somebody to witness to. So we're part of that world that's out there. But you know, our fellowship just is not deep with them. If there is any at all, we can be around them. We will talk with them. We will go to their homes. We're talking family, relatives here. But fellowshipping, that's a little deeper than what we're doing. Unless, of course, we are part of what goes on out there, and we are part of what they wear, and we are part of what they talk and what they do. And if we are trying to participate like they do, then I'll guarantee I've got 0 for 7 on my ratings of helping people, and everybody that's gone down the toilet, especially my newest one, is because they started fellowshipping with darkness. They started getting out there amongst the world. They had to work. They have to do what they have to do, but they let that become their fellowship, which is tough for us because who of us have each other to fellowship with? Email is a tough fellowship. I wouldn't mind phone call. I really wouldn't mind talking to Gary and Julie and Bob and Andrea and Gary and Joyce in Oregon. It's tough for me in this end because there's times I'm in a situation where I really can't talk to these other people because it would be an uncomfortable situation. And I could end up, that'd be one reason. Second thing, I could talk all night on the phone. But I will say this, fellowshipping on the phone, I will not gain weight. But if I go to the restaurant like I used to do with Bob all the time, we'd go to restaurants all the time and have a burger, have breakfast at that Scandinavian Dutch place. I don't know what that thing was called. That was joyful fellowship. Although I gained a few pounds. Unfortunately, Bob, my pounds I've gained now are not your fault at the hamburger shop at all. It's just a totally different ballgame. Anyway, it's because of my meds. That's what I say to myself. Okay. So anyway. So back to the point here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. See, this is not just a marriage verse. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, how true is that? And the righteousness that we have is not ours, it's Christ's righteousness. So, We read our Bible, we learn our Bible, we understand this King James Bible rightly divided. We understand what's going on in this world. We're not be happy about it, we're disgusted with it, it's frustrating. I was hoping it wouldn't happen in my time. The stupidity of this country is putting forth, it does not click with what we know and the righteousness that Christ has accounted to us, and even some of the righteousness that we do. There are some things that we actually do that are right. I would hope that there might be something coming out of the judgment seat of Christ for each one of us, that we're not just giving up and just going off with knowledge. I hope we make some decisions not to do this. I hope we all have battles with our flesh, and sometimes we win, and sometimes, I'm sorry, but we lose. But I think after we're done with this sermon, if I've said this thing good enough today and tonight, we'll understand the battle a little bit more and how important it is for us to make the right choice and just fight that flesh. And maybe some of the dumb things that are going on in our lives, maybe some of that stuff will go away. Maybe. You know, if that's what it's based on, we'll see. Okay, so we've looked at the community. See, everybody likes to look at that being unequally yoked for a marriage. Well, that's a true thing. But, we're talking just fellowship in general here. What communion hath light with darkness? Well, we go to the staff party last night, and we didn't have much to talk about with anybody. Couldn't talk about any of the Catholic stuff. Catholic stuff don't talk spiritual anyway. You know, they just think that God's blessed them, and so they go in there and confess their sins, and then God blesses their farming and all that sort of a thing as they guzzle down their beers. The philosophies of education, if anybody did want to talk shop, I would have been glad to talk about the Common Core curriculum stuff, but they're partying, you know. Whatever. So we don't have anything in common. I work with them and we're fine with it. I think I have a better testimony, a better attitude now than I've had in the past, because I was probably kind of arrogant, kind of conceited back in the earlier years. I mean, who knows, you know? So, okay. So just take my little mind. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. No, let's go one more here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. This is a little bit tougher verse regarding what I just said, actually. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness." Okay, well, that's what we're talking about here. We may be amongst it, but we're not fellowshipping with it. But then he throws this little plug in at the end. "But rather, reprove them." Well, now, there spoils your acceptance from the staff. There spoils your work fellowship club that you have. You are different. And they take it very personal these days. And even though they're different from us, they expect us to accept them. But because we're different than them, they don't want to accept us. But we know that. We're aware of that. So if we get our chances, we ought to reprove the works of darkness. If anybody wants to talk about this stuff, I'll pop in there what the Bible says. I'll pop in there what's going on. I'll be glad to talk about that stuff. I'm just trying to be a little bit more wise in my discussions, bring it up when it's proper to bring it up, whatever, you know. Anyway. But yeah, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, winging my brain here, that also makes me think of Acts. I think it's Acts 19. Either 19 or 17. 27, Acts 19, 27. Talking about Demetrius, you know, the silversmith, and the great goddess Diana should be despised and the magnificent should be destroyed. That's that religion stuff, you destroy that. So if we're going to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness, and if we're going to despise these leaders that are teaching a false doctrine everywhere in this world, and the magnificence of religion or the magnificence of education or whatever needs to be destroyed, yeah, you're still not going to be the happiest, or you're still not going to be the most welcome individual. But then that takes me to Timothy, where Paul says, "Hey, listen, if you're going to try to follow my manner of life, which we should, modesty, where we go, what we do, da-da-da-da, if we want to follow that, and get really serious with it, and raise our standards that the world has already taught us, unlearn some of the religion, and unlearn some of this low morals that our country has so much of, we will not be like." Paul says, we will suffer persecution. And really, all we're trying to do is follow the risen Savior through Paul, through the preserved word of the King James Bible, rightly divided. And they have a hard time with that because they're Ruckmanites, they're Hylesites, they're Bibleites, they're mixed up. They rightly divide according to their teacher, not according to the books of Paul. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, just getting off the track here. Here's an interesting verse, Galatians 2:9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me." Now this is a fantastic verse. "They gave to me and Barnabas," should have been Barnabas and I, but apparently Paul did not take grammar class, "at the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," that's the Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision." Duh. You know, there it is again. Put that together with Romans 11. Put that together with Galatians chapter 2, Peter and Paul. And it's just as obvious as it's cold in North Dakota that we are to follow Paul's teachings, not the apostles. Well, let's kind of narrow this thing. Let's get down to the conclusion. I'm kind of yapping about it. Then we'll talk about how to deal with it tonight. Looking forward to tonight. How to deal with the fact that we may be doing what I'm saying that I think we might be doing here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. You should know just by the phrase Ephesians chapter 3, what a spectacular chapter. What a spectacular book, Ephesians. But chapter 3? Boy, I don't know if the King James brethren out there ever read this chapter. This is as simple and as plain as can be. For this cause, you know, I'm going to take a sip of hot chocolate. Hang on a minute here. Soften up my throat a little bit. Okay. Let's see here. Sorry about that. For this, remember, Bob, I used to have sermons that would last an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half. Wow, those were the days. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is giving me, that's Paul, to you word, how that by revelation to Paul, that's okay, not to Dr. Ruckman, not to those kind of advanced revelations, etc., just he revealed to Paul, he made known unto me the mystery, parentheses, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge, that's Paul, in the mystery of Christ, unparentheses, while in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There's that by the Spirit thing. There's a clue right there, a little hint to where this was all going. In other words, this is a mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the risen Savior, the risen gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. See, there is somebody worse than you. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here we go. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And then it goes on. So our fellowship is based on Paul. It's based on what he has revealed to us. I'm sorry, what Paul has written to us and spoken and written to us, which has been given to him from the risen Savior. And we are able to partake, fellow heirs of the same body, not a different body. Everybody gets all tight about the Paul guys, you know, being a different church. No, it's a different system. We're fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. It's a different setup now. Same body. They just like to pick to find something, but they can't find anything, so they got to make it up. So this fellowship that we're talking about here, it's more than just being friends with somebody down the street. This is a fellowship with the risen Savior through Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided. That's a fantastic chapter right there. Let's go to Philippians for a short little verse here. Philippians just over a notch or two. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. He's talking, Paul and Timotheus, verse 1, the servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. They get their churches there, see? I thank God upon my remembrance of you, verse 3. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then he goes on. Paul just goes on with fantastic things to say. Let's just narrow it down to the fellowship in the gospel. What gospel are we talking about here? We're talking about Paul's gospel. How can you say that? Keep reading. You know what? I want to find another verse here, too. I think it's Romans. Actually, I might just remember this thing. Well, my brain is amazing. Romans 16:25. Let's check on this gospel comment I made here that people would reject, except for this verse here. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. But see, note, I just want to emphasize this so much. And the preaching of Jesus Christ is not referring to the gospels that Jesus taught to the apostles. He's referring to Paul, because it says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So the preaching of Jesus Christ is from Paul. The power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul's gospel, which we know in Romans 2:16 is what our works are going to be judged by, Romans 2:16. Oh, I'm repeating myself, just flapping the same old stuff, but it's so good. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, that's Paul. This is amazing stuff. Our fellowship with Christ is the risen Savior. And without that fellowship, we make dumb decisions. Without that fellowship, our understanding becomes darkened. The more we stay away from the fellowship with the risen Savior, the more our understanding darkens. The less the wisdom of the mind of Christ, the King James, that wisdom, we turn to our own wisdom and it gets stupid. We start doing dumb things. And we start following the... Oh, wait a minute. Paul said he fought this battle all the time with his mind and the flesh. So see, that's what we're going through. So our strength comes from our fellowship with the risen Savior. Our strength is from His grace, which He talks about in Timothy. Okay. Let me show you something here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Now, wherever it is, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Now, let's finish this thing up, and then we'll pick it up again tonight regarding how do we deal with this thing. And it's a fantastic thing. I just don't think, well, save it for tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. This is really something here. Oh, you all probably know this, but, you know, I'm getting paid the big bucks to talk about it, so. Here we go. By the way, thank you. I mean, there are some folks on the line right now that you do send money, and I wish I could shake your hand or hug you or whatever and say, listen, this means so much to me. It helps more than you can imagine. My sanity, my fears, everything. The sacrifice over the years has been so great that, high and mighty, but no. My sacrifices over the years are because I sacrificed to religion. I sacrificed to devils. When I thought I was doing the right thing and God would bless my older years because I did the right thing, no, I got ripped off by religion. And this is Bunny Trail, I do despise religion because it virtually destroyed me financially. It destroyed my kids, my family, so much. Anyway. You folks help out fantastically. Okay, get back on the trail here. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Well, now there's something to think about. Then there's things that go on because of the if. But let's not go past that. Let's just stop at this phrase here. The fellowship of, let's see here, if the fellowship of the Spirit. That's where our fellowship is at. It isn't Paul the man. He's dead and gone. The risen Savior is the risen Savior. He's the right hand of God the Father. Almighty, I think. Maybe that's my Lutheran phrase. I don't know. It might be the Apostles' Creed. I might have thrown that little phrase in there. And it's not just an empty book reading about Paul. It's not a religion book. It's because we got fellowship of the Spirit. And we know that. We know that we have the Spirit of God in us. This is the home. This is the temple. So our fellowship is based on the Spirit. It prays for us. The work of, you know, in Romans 8, I think it is. check it out here. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I mean, He's there for us. And that's where our fellowship is at. And it says the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, keep this in mind. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. This is a very short conclusion. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Simple verse. Quench not the Spirit. Capital S. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, which is even a powerful verse where it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So, what can we do what takes place in our day-to-day living that quenches the Spirit of God, that grieves the Spirit? Let's see. What are we doing for time? Let's keep going. I miss Wednesday nights, but I'm just too whipped out by Wednesday nights. Let's just keep going to this thing here. What do we do? What takes place in our day-to-day lives that quenches or grieves the Spirit of God? And if it does, what is the result? Well, if the Holy Spirit is quenched, we're kind of on our own for some moments or minutes or hours or days or whatever. I mean, if our understanding can get darkened, if we can lose our joy, if we start doing worldly wisdom, you know, we're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. Not just quenching. See, I don't like to, even my enemies, and I've got plenty of them I've learned over the years, I don't like to see them grieved. Grieving, to me, a hurtful feeling towards people, or when I see somebody else that's hurting, I just don't like that. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to grieve. And not anybody can really do much for me when I'm grieving, but it's nice to know there's somebody there while you're grieving. But still, grieving. You know? And so we can actually grieve the Spirit of God. And we can quench, shut down, stop, you know, doing what He wants to do in our lives. So how can this happen? Well, let's do a couple of quick thoughts here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is huge. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications. Look at the stuff that we have in our lives. Look at our day-to-day lives. Look at our communication toys, our machines, the music, the entertainment world, the media. What do we find ourselves reading and watching that the Holy Spirit is grieved over? What you say? Well, we can't just live without TV. We can't just live without computer. Well, I guess that's true. But look at what's happening because of it. And you say you're strong enough, I can put up with it? Well, I know 7 people that on my 07 list that said they could deal with it. Now they live amongst it, and I'm sure that they haven't lost their salvation. I believe they had it based on the Paul stuff. They just had to go back to the way it was. And here's where a lot of the famous Paul preacher teacher guys, the big guns, you know, I can't even think of the names right now. But this is one of the biggest things that they say. Well, if you go back and you reject God's grace, then you never had it in the first place. I don't buy that. I think that's a guilt trip that these Paul preaching guys put on everybody, and that's why I don't like these big guys. They have a lot of good stuff to teach, but you don't put that on anybody. It can happen to any of us. This communications that we are part of can destroy us. Does it destroy us? Does God chastise us? No. Does the Spirit of God is quenched during all that. The Spirit of God is grieved because he sees what we are doing, who we're fellowshipping with, who we're running around with, who we're paying attention to, who are these people, are there's keeping us from hearing the preaching and doing the Bible studying and doing the things we ought to be doing to please God. That would grieve the Spirit of God. I knew I'd lose that guy eventually. That's why I was yapping so hard on the Paul stuff. That guy that was on there, I don't know who he was. And I just, maybe he just lost his connection, but I don't think he's got the real connection anyway. Anyway, so just we need to remind ourselves of what we look at, where we go, how we dress, what we show, how we talk. I don't know, go down the list of Paul's stuff again and go through Timothy and Titus, you know, chapter 2. When we don't do that stuff, we actually grieve the Spirit of God. I don't like to grieve anybody, let alone the Spirit of God. And something I've noticed here recently, again, maybe this sermon is just for me, I don't know. But my anxiety attacks I get, they all start where? They all start in the mind. You get a thought. Some little thought pops up, and there are times that all of a sudden that thought just runs with itself, and then I start getting scared. And I get that anxiety. And in my case, is I got those PCBs or PCVs in the heart. So when the anxiety comes, it makes the heart skip a beat, which then turns anxiety up. So it's kind of a cycle thing. Once it starts, it just builds itself up more and more, and you can hardly stop it. Well, it started by a thought. It started by our mind. What do we see? What do we watch? Where do we go? What do we do that causes these things to happen to us, this kind of a thing, see? Evil communication in our lives will quench and grieve the Spirit of God, which affects our fellowship. And I'll show you more about the fellowship aspect tonight. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. These are just some quick things here of what we can do to quench and grieve the Spirit of God. See, I know all things are lawful. I know that. But he does say they're not expedient. Then there's that list of strings that we really ought to keep track of that stuff. That stuff on those strings right there, led by the occasion for the flesh, power over us, expedient. Oh, come on now. I know. Go to Galatians, where are my notes? I'll read it up to you again here. Those are the things that grieve the Spirit of God. That's just what it is. Expedient, edify, must edify, not occasion for the flesh, not to cause someone else to stumble, not be brought under the power of it. And a lot of things that we do, or say, or see, or wear, or go, or whatever, and those things are going to quench and grieve the Spirit of God. It isn't just that we're not having them imputed, which is a fantastic thing. It isn't just that God is saving them for our judgment seat so we can burn the works up then and clear up our record. That's fine. But right now, this day, and God isn't going to chastise us for it, but the Spirit of God does get grieved and it does get quenched. Paul says not to do that, which means it must be capable of happening. Okay, I've got some, what have I got here? I've got Ephesians 4. Okay, Ephesians 4. Well, that's doing what the Gentiles do, the lost people. Henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Well, that grieves and quenches the Spirit of God. And here's what happens. Our understanding can get dark. We can be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us. We quit paying attention to this stuff. It isn't that God's leaving us. We're just the ones walking away from Him. And we let our hearts get blinded. We, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's flesh. And see, but you have not so learned Christ. Right, that's right. But if you are doing this stuff, it's because you're not in your book. You're not fellowshipping with the risen Savior through the teachings of Paul in the King James Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit and the existence of the Holy Spirit. What else? Well, we've already talked about how music can quench the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about that. If it's flesh or if it's mind, if it's clean, if it's... And remember, even the devil knows how to use a good kind of music, too. So, music, easily. You just can't imagine. Well, the Spirit of God has to listen. Yeah, he can't leave. He has to listen to what you're playing. He has to listen to what you're around. And who's more guilty than me with a school band program? I try to keep it as clean as I can. I know this stuff's going to burn. But I'm hoping that some of my, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's not going to be a huge flame because I'm not doing the horrible junk, but give it time. If I'm not careful, I could get into some junky stuff because it makes the kids happy, blah, 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 which makes me successful, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't want that. I would get out of this in a second if I could. Wait a minute. We tried that. Remember, we moved to Ohio. See, we could start a church up, and I had all these promises of financial support, and it started to dwindle real quick. And I realized, boy, this isn't the way God wants it to go. And we got out of that mess. I'm still paying for that mess. See? Music. What a thing. Now, here's one. Now, this is going to, you know, Philippians chapter 4. Boy, I thought we could just, all things are lawful, so we could just do things, and I know it's going to burden the judgment seat of Christ, but, you know, whatever. Well, there's more that takes place yet, and it quenches and grieves the Spirit of God. And then here's something else. I think this explains this verse now to me more than I had before. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Like I said, you folks probably knew all this stuff anyway already, being to Paul trained before I came along here. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul, do. You mean there's still a do element to our Christianity? Yeah. But look at here, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Does that mean if you do the right things, you're saved? You're going to be saved and work your way to heaven? Not at all. It says, if we're doing these things that Paul teaches us to do, then we will be able to have our fellowship with God. God will be the God of peace. Not the peace of God, but the God of peace shall be with you. And one of the biggest complaints I hear from Christians that are, you know, so-called Christians, mostly young people that probably weren't Christians in the first place, just played religion. One of the things they say, where's God at? Well, he's you know, well, how do you know? Well, you're not reading your Bible, are you? You're not looking to Paul, are you? You're not even doing the things you ought to be doing. Dressing right, reading right, looking at the decent, you know, trying to do the right thing. Fighting your flesh all the time, no doubt about it. Romans chapter 7. But he says, do what Paul teaches and what we've seen him do. Both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So if we're not doing those things, the God of peace must not be with us. He left us? No. He's quenched. He's grieved. And we're the one that locks them out. Yeah. And then we go to Acts chapter 17. You know about the whole thing about worship. Then you go to Acts 19 and you look at what the religion, that kind of stuff. So what is one thing that can shut down understanding the fellowship with the Spirit of God? Well, religion. I wouldn't say shuts it down. It prevents it from being there. Religion, the deception of religion. But if you get caught up in the Paul stuff and you really enjoy it, get into the stuff, and then you go back, I shouldn't say caught up. If you start learning the Paul stuff, as I call it, then you go back to religion, which I know some people have, you know, some people pretty close to me, then you're not going to have this fellowship with God. And they're the ones that pray. They're the ones that think God is blessing them. They're the ones that wonder sometimes the questions, why would God allow that? Do you really want me to tell you why I believe the scriptures will tell you why what you just are getting involved in, why this is happening? Is God punishing you? No. God chastising you? No. Is God chastising? Is God left me? No. You have. Or maybe you've been prevented from having the real thing in the first place. Okay, so those are some thoughts. Now let's finish up here with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Sure, if this is being recorded, I don't just mess it up on this end over here, but Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Not Acts, Romans. Okay, go to Romans. Okay, let's go there. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, okay, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a mind thing. We know that. We're just being reminded that. I've got Ephesians 4:23 for some reason. I don't remember that one. Let's check it out. Ephesians 4:23. I know where we're at here. Yeah, okay. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man. Da, 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 da. That's what we fight. And if we're not careful and we stay out of this book and stay away from these sermons, or whatever you want to call them, or somebody's sermon that's preaching the truth about rightly dividing, not just a the grace only joy of it all, let's get into some reality here, then this is what's happening to us. And as this world falls apart more and more here, go let's look to Ezekiel just for a second here. Ezekiel 16, if I remember correctly, which I probably don't. So let's look it up anyway. Ezekiel 16. I mean, we're living in a mess. Getting messier every day. And we know what's going on. I listened on the video the other day, by the way, and I know you can hear my dog snoring in the background, so I'll have to maybe move. I forgot about that. I'm going to move her a little bit here. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. That's America today. That's what's going on. That just fits it so well. And it's just what's happening is a result of not having the true Savior. It's not God and the true Savior putting the kibosh down. That's coming later. It's called the judgment of God, the wrath of God. We don't need to worry about that. Ephesians, Paul. But people say, you know, God's going to put, yeah, he is, judgment seat at the judgment seat when he comes back. Yes, that's true. But you're not talking about that. You guys are saying the judgment is already on America. Not at all. What's happening to our country is what's happening to individual people when you step aside away from God. When you shut down the fellowship with what? The Spirit of God. With all these different things that we talked about. Evil communication, music, vanity of our mind, doing what the world does, fellowshipping with devils, fellowshipping with the Gentiles that are out there, religion getting caught up in religion, and we're not willing to take the time to renew our mind. And how do we do that? We'll talk about that tonight. So I hope you can come back tonight because I like to see your names up there anyway. And we will...